we've suffered through some storms and some hailstones. A lot of things getting our attention out there. Hopefully you didn't receive too much damage over the last few days. Praise God. We do appreciate God's hand of protection. I know there were some prayers going up in the storm cellar where I was at. We were praying on Friday night. We was having Friday night prayer meeting in the storm. I've had some good prayer meetings when tornadoes are on the way. I remember when I was about 14, it was 1982. I got a minute, don't I? It was 1982, and I was helping. My mom thought it was going to be safer at a brick nursing home where my grandmother worked, so we ran over there. Tornado was on the way, and I was helping them get the older folks out of the rooms and into the hall, and got up underneath one of the beds of the lady that my grandmother sit with, and that sirens were going, and we were preparing for it, and we was up there praying, and one of the older ladies just started yodeling. I was like, man, I wish I had that kind of. I was scared. She was just a yodeling away. She didn't bother her none. Lord, praise God. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I do want to get some announcements out of the way real quick. Don't forget about our church app. There's also a new way to sign up. Usually we had sign-up sheets that were on the little welcome table. Those sign-up sheets are now around the corner there, and they're in a little holder there, and each sign-up sheet has got a clipboard. So if you haven't used an app to sign up, you can always find those sign-up sheets there and sign up. We do have the men's meeting coming up this Saturday, May the 2nd. From 5 to 9 p.m., there's going to be a men's gathering here at the R.L. Meyer Center. Dinner and games will be provided at no cost. Let me back up. I skipped one. There's also a Ladies United Fellowship Thursday, April. That's tomorrow evening, April 30th. Sister Victoria King will be the speaker. That's going to be at Garibaldi's Mexican Restaurant at 6 p.m., and they need a head count tonight. So if you plan on going to that, I know you'll enjoy it. But they do need you to get your name in the hat tonight. And that's the same for the men. We need to get a sign up in the foyer and sign up today. The RSVP is required today so they'll know what to prepare, how much barbecue or whatever it is that we're eating. You certainly don't want to show up and not have enough for you. I'm going to sign up because I want my sandwich there waiting. All right, Sunday, May 3rd, we're going to have Sunday on the Square. That's at 5 p.m. downtown Paris. That should be an exciting time. Please come and enjoy the downtown area. And that's going to be this Sunday at 5 p.m. downtown. Also, Wednesday, May 6th, is going to be our first Wednesday fellowship. And that's going to be at held at the R.L. Meyer Center, also across the way. Please plan on attending that. We always have a great time at those. Please invite a friend or a coworker, someone to come and enjoy fellowship and get to know your church better. Also, Friday, May 8th, we're going to be hosting a sectional youth rally, and there's some I believe I heard Brother Tony, is it Brother Tony? Jimmy Tony is going to be preaching at that. I've never heard of him, but I've never heard him preach. I've heard him online, but I've heard he's an outstanding speaker. So that's going to be an awesome time here. We're going to be hosting that on Friday, May the 8th at a sectional youth rally. All right. Praise God. Well, let's stand this evening as we get ready to enter into a time of worship. I know it's Wednesday night, but there's no better place and there's no better time than where we're at right now. Gathered together in one mind and one accord in the name of Jesus. Let's just open in prayer as we get ready to turn these singers loose to lead us in worship. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your blessings tonight, your strength that you've given us today, Lord. And we just pray for everyone on our prayer list tonight, Lord. We pray that you would lift them up and give them strength tonight. God, we just give you the praise and honor tonight. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise you. Y'all worship with them as they come and lead us tonight.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you glory.
glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. My goodness, he was glad. He was tired of doing all that king stuff. He was ready to get into the presence of the Lord. Brother Cody is tired of all that Kimberly Clark stuff. It's time to get to the house of the Lord. Praise God. You can say the same tonight. Praise God. It's so good to be in his house. We're going to ask our ushers to come this evening and receive. You know, it's so easy to give to the Lord because, you know, we receive so much. He gives up so much. Praise God. He provides so much to us. It's so easy to give into his kingdom. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your many blessings tonight. Lord, we pray for this offering. Lord, we pray for every home, every individual tonight in this house. We just give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, praise God. Y'all give the Lord tonight.
Jesus. Amen. So glad to be in church tonight. So thankful that you are here on a Wednesday evening. God bless you for being here tonight. Amen. God is so good. I do want to mention something right quick before we get into the Word of the Lord. Regarding Sunday evening, our Sunday at the square, that is contingent upon how cold it's going to be. Amen. I don't want to eat ice cream in 50-degree weather down there. Amen. And so, we'll make a judgment call on Sunday morning to see how cool it is on Sunday evening. But it's going to be a great time if we can. It's at the square, May 3rd, 5 p.m. And this is just bring your own lawn chair. Stop by Brahms. Sunday in Paris is there. Grab you an ice cream. Come over. We'll do a devotion. Just something different Sunday night. It's going to be a great time. And if that doesn't work out, well, we'll go from there. Amen. I do want to remind you again, in case it wasn't mentioned, this past Sunday, we did our pitch for this Colombia, Spain offering projects. One in Colombia was to buy property, and in Spain was to help Brother Zenobia and their Bible school and church that they're attempting to build. And I told you Sunday you have a couple of weeks to get the funds in. And so please, if you would, give towards that project, and God will bless you. Amen. Amen. So I believe in giving to missions, And I believe it's the heartbeat of the Lord. Amen. So I ask you to please give to missions. Amen. And I know I've always been taught, and I believe that if we'll take care of the global field, God will always take care of the home field. Amen. So pray about that, and whatever God would have you to give, amen, give to that. And I'm looking forward to reporting a great offering being given to Colombia and Spain. As I told you Sunday, these offerings will be split down the middle. So if $10,000 comes in, we'll send $5,000 to Colombia, $5,000 to Spain. However much comes in, we're going to give it, and God's going to bless us. Amen. In case you were wondering, in case you want to go ahead and do this tonight, it'd be great. $4,000 was needed for Colombia to pay for that property. Amen. That's a lot of money, I know, to us, but it's an astronomical amount if you live in a third world country. And they're trying to buy property. And Brother Zenobia needed $20,000 to finish his Bible school. And, of course, he's called other pastors. I get that. But if you want to step up and do that, that'd be great. Amen. God will bless you for that. Amen. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. Brother Donnie, it's good to see you home. I know you've been off a lot. We love you, man. We've missed you around here. So good to see you. We appreciate you. And we could have our friends, the Ballers, tonight. God bless you guys for being in service. Amen. Genesis 32. I'm going to begin reading in verse 22, and this is speaking of Jacob. He's left his uncle Laban's farm, and he's fixing to cross over a river called Jabbok. The Bible says that Jacob arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, the angel touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have," everyone said, "struggled. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. If you would, put back up verse 28, please. This is our anchor text. The angel spoke to Jacob and said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." I want to preach this great group of believers tonight simply victory beyond the struggle. Victory beyond the struggle. Why don't we pray? Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for your word tonight. We ask you, Lord, to anoint us. I ask you, Holy Ghost, to speak to us, Lord. Bless these sweet people, God. I pray bless jams tonight. Bless youth tonight, God. Bless the adult class. I pray the Holy Ghost would do what only you can do, God. Give somebody courage. Give somebody strength tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Victory beyond the struggle. To struggle is to strive to achieve or attain something in the face of difficulty or resistance. The word struggle in our text, according to Strong's Concordance, means to contend for, to persist, or to persevere. You have heard people use the phrase, and no doubt yourself have made this statement before, and at times this phrase is used in a comical sense, but when faced with difficulty and challenges, some might would say, man, the struggle is real. Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, he was a man well acquainted with struggle. He faced a string of business failures. He lost 8 elections, all while battling severe melancholy or depression. And he eventually, though, out of the struggle, he eventually led, we know, the United States through its bloodiest conflict and successfully ended slavery. Thomas Edison, labeled as a young man too stupid to learn by his teachers, he failed, they say, roughly between 1 to 10,000 times while trying to invent what you and I know as the light bulb. And he had a famous saying. Thomas Edison said, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." Colonel Sanders, the famous man of Kentucky Fried Chicken, was a 6th grade dropout who didn't find his victory until age 65. He was rejected over 1,000 times while driving across the United States trying to sell his secret chicken recipe before he found his first partner. If we are honest, struggling is something we don't like to talk about very much. Struggling, when it's talked about, it often has pain and suffering attached to it. At times when you have struggles, there are questions that you have no answers to. Typically, when struggles are present, there is a war going on inside of you over decisions that have to be made. When struggles are present, we tend to be on edge more than normal because something just isn't right. Struggling is not something any of us really like to endure. But you can ask any mother who has had a child during the struggle of contractions, that's not the time for the husband to ask, "Hey honey, how are you feeling?" If he were dumb enough to do so, she would no doubt say, "Hey, idiot, you know exactly," or, "No, you have no idea how I'm feeling. Why don't you just shut up? Can't you see I'm struggling over here?" The Bible lets us know that before Jacob, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, before Jacob and Esau ever came out of the womb, they were struggling in the womb. Genesis tells us in Genesis 25 and verse 21 that Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children, the Bible said, struggled together within her. And she said, "If all is well, why in the world is there this struggle taking place?" So the Bible said that she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "There are 2 nations inside of your womb. There are 2 peoples that shall be separated from your body. One shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." The Bible says that when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. And they called his name Esau. And afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. So we know that before Jacob ever had a wrestling match in Genesis chapter 32 with the angel of the Lord, before this man ever saw the light of day, he was struggling and reaching for things that were beyond him. Was he perfect? By no means. Did he have it all together? By no means did he have it all together. But he was a man who knew how to struggle and wrestle and not give in. If you ever want to look through the scriptures and find people who struggled, I talked about Moses a couple of weeks ago, and I'll run briefly through this, but Moses is probably one of the greatest testimonies of a man who endured, who understood what it was to struggle, and he's 40 years old in the prime of his life, so to speak, and he thinks that it's time to be hero to his people. He believes that he is the deliverer. He's just off by 40 years. And instead, he winds up in a struggle for 40 years in a desert, tending sheep that don't belong to him. And after 40 years, we know that God shows up in a burning bush and instructs this 80-year-old man that the place he is standing is holy ground. And his struggles, we know, they're about to become very real, because when you're in a desert place for 40 years, you have a lot of time to think about what ain't right, what ain't fair. And he begins to speak to God about what he don't have, what he's not capable of. And God, why are you calling me into an area where you know I struggle? You know I have issues in certain areas. God, why would you want to push my button? Why would you want to tell me that my ministry involves speaking when you know I have a problem speaking, when you know I stutter, when you know I can't speak well? But Moses, somewhere in his life, God saw in him a victory that was beyond the struggle. If he could just learn to trust the Lord's direction, if he could somehow just learn to trust the Lord's leading. He said, Moses, you just need to know that I specialize in using people in the areas that they struggle the most in. If you would, Moses, let's go ahead and practice. We talked about it the other night. Throw the rod down. And the Bible says the rod turned to a snake. Moses takes off running, and God says, pick the rod back up. And he says, Moses, take your hand, put it inside of your coat. And when he did and pulled it out, it was like that of leprosy. When he put it back in and pulled it back out, it was like a baby's skin. Moses, he was saying, what seems like a struggle right now is fixing to turn into a victory. I'll send Aaron to be your mouthpiece. You'll step into Pharaoh's court and demand, let God's people go. And Moses, I will put my hand on you and give you victory after victory. And we know that in the end, Moses' victory will come from this struggle. And faith, Moses, you don't see it right now, but it's going to be birthed out of you. I know that faith isn't there. I know you don't even see faith right now, but what you don't know is some thousand years later, the Apostle Paul is going to write about you if he wrote the Hebrews. And he will say in Hebrews 11:23, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought, Moses did, it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith, Hebrews says, that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though it were dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. Does anybody notice what's left out of Hebrews 11? The only thing that's not in the text of Hebrews 11, not one time does the author mention that Moses had moments in his life where he faced great struggle. Yet we know that he faced some great struggle time after time after time after time, that he couldn't be. He was not the man for the job. And I personally believe it was because God looked beyond the struggle and he saw the victory that was ahead. All he needed Moses to do was to buy into his vision. All he needed Moses to do was to believe that the word spoken over his life was greater than his struggle. You talk about a man with great struggle. That boy Gideon, that young man Gideon, he doesn't feel like a mighty warrior when the angel finds him threshing wheat in a wine press. But God tells the angel to show up to where Gideon is and declare to him, "Gideon, thou art a mighty man of valor." You're talking about me, Gideon, me, that the man that's the least in my father's house. Yeah, I'm speaking to you, Gideon. You're the guy that God has chosen to bring victory over the Midianites. And I know that you struggle right now with feeling like you're a nobody. I know you struggle right now with thinking you've got nothing to offer, but there is victory beyond your struggle. Peter, I know tonight that you're struggling with regret right now, but there is victory beyond your condemnation. You still have got to preach Pentecost message. You still got to go to a man named Cornelius' house, and you still have got to preach to the Gentiles. Thank God, Peter, you survived the struggle because of your victory. I can now stand in this pulpit tonight and say a man must be born again of water and of the Spirit, or he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. If I could have some more monitor, please. Life has a way of throwing us into struggles either we asked for or struggles we didn't ask for. There are struggles you didn't ask for, but seemingly were brought to you to see what will you do with the struggle. Jacob and the angel in Genesis chapter 32, he says, You can let go if you want to, or you can say, Jacob, if you would, he said, just let me go. Don't you know the day's about to break? Don't you understand I've got to go? Don't you know that you've been struggling with me all night long? Don't you understand you've been fighting me all night long? And Jacob, I can just see in my mind's eye, he would speak to him, if you will, and say, don't you know I've been struggling with my Uncle Laban. I worked for 7 years for a promise of getting the one I love, Rachel, only to be tricked. And even though it didn't feel like a struggle those first 7 years, 13 years later, I'm still working on the farm. I'm still struggling to get what I need. And my wage, he said, has been changed 10 times. Laban is a sly man. He said, I've been here 20 years. I've been struggling since I left home. And now now God has told me to get up and get back home, and I'll be with you, God said. And Jacob takes off across the desert, and another struggle arises. Esau, the past, is headed toward him, and now the struggle with fear of what is going to happen. And he got to that river Jabbok, Brother Jones, in Genesis chapter 32, and he's left alone there. And now the Bible says that the angel comes and wrestles with him until the break of the day. But things change, we know, towards the daybreak when the angel says, "Let me go." And all of a sudden it turns into a different kind of struggle. Now, instead of Jacob struggling with trouble and an uncle who is only here to build his own kingdom, today, tonight, in this text, it changes because Jacob is the one who chooses to hold on and to struggle and to wrestle with the angel until he gets the answer. This time, Jacob is the one who essentially invites the struggle on himself. He didn't have to struggle in this moment. He could have let go. The angel even told him again, "Let me go." But Jacob said, "In essence, I've been struggling with stuff for 20 years. It's been struggle after struggle, but I'm at a point to where I'm willing to struggle with God until I get what I came for." And when he changed his mindset and said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me," that's when the angel changes the story and says, "Your name will no longer be called Jacob," he said, "but from now on you'll be called Israel, because you have fought with God, you have struggled with God and with men, and you have won." And the Bible says that, true to his word, as the sun was rising, Jacob had a limp. He had a definite mark on his life. Jacob never knew that it was at this place where he would come face to face with God, who could turn everything around. But when he got to the moment, he took advantage of the struggle, and his struggle produced the name change. And I want to tell somebody tonight, I felt it 2 days ago, whatever you do, don't let go, Jacob. Don't tell me that God can't take what has seemingly been your worst enemy, what's seemingly been your worst year after year. Don't tell me God can't take the struggle and create great victory out of your life. I've come to preach to somebody on a Wednesday night. It may feel like your life has been one big struggle, but whatever you do, don't stop right now. Don't let go right now. God is in control. God's got his hand on your life. There is victory beyond the struggle. That lady with the issue of blood, she woke up that day not knowing, not understanding that just a few hours later, she would be absolutely transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. But she woke up that morning struggling with that disease for 12 years. But the difference between that day and yesterday is that today she's fixing to bring her struggle to the feet of Jesus. And I know she understands that she's fixing to have to struggle to get to Jesus. But she realized, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." She realized that there really is victory beyond my struggle and what had held her hostage for 12 years. And at times, it literally felt like there was no escape. She felt like she was going backwards. All it took was her pressing just a little bit further. She had been struggling with doctors for 12 years, but now she is struggling trying to get a miracle. And I promise you, the day you stop struggling with flesh and you start struggling in the spirit, I promise you, friend, there is something about warring, struggling, pressing into the spirit. After a while, God is going to move. After a while, God is going to come through. After a while, God is going to speak, and thanks be unto God. She woke up one morning and she made up in her mind, "I'm going to get to Jesus." And when she woke up the next day, victory was not something she talked about, but she realized there was really victory that was beyond beyond my struggle. There was a victory that was beyond my pain. There was victory that was beyond my hurt. Hear me, somebody, tonight. I know you've been wrestling. I know you've been fighting in your mind, and your flesh has been warring against you, and it seems like it's struggle after struggle, and you feel like it's one wall after another wall. But you hear this preacher tonight, the enemy is a master of getting us to fight against our flesh. But if you could somehow start struggling with God, if you'd somehow get your hand on the master and say, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will pray until God comes through. I will seek your face until something breaks in the supernatural. I'm telling you right now, friend, there will be victory beyond your struggle. There will be a great victory beyond your problem if you can somehow but reach out and grab the hand. Let's praise the Lord right now. Come on, give God glory right now. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Grab your neighbor by the hand right now. Lift that hand to heaven if it's appropriate. Come on, somebody. The Holy Ghost is in this house right now. God, right now, I speak peace tonight. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody who's been fighting in their mind, fighting flesh, fighting the mind. God, help me, Lord, to remove, God, to stop struggling with what I don't know how to fix. Help me, God, to struggle with the one who can somehow bring an answer out of the heavenlies. Help me. Come on, somebody. Help me pray right now. Help me, God, to struggle with you, Lord. Help me, God, to struggle in the spirit. Somebody struggle right now in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray. I'm going to press. I'm going to push. I'm going to do whatever it takes until I get an answer from the one who sits on the throne, who is high. God, my, who is high and lifted up above all my problems. There is victory beyond my struggle tonight. Can I tell you tonight that victory, lots of times, I'm almost done. Victory, lots of times, is not pretty. I've never seen, you come to Keys, babe. I've never seen a time where anybody who fought for something in the natural, physical wars, that it was cute, pretty, and the soldiers came home all dressed in their uniforms, looking like nothing. No. Anytime a war was fought, anytime there was battle in a real battlefield, regardless of the war, lots of men came home bloodied. Lots of men came home bandaged. Lots of men came home barely alive. But it was during these times of war, it was during these times of struggle, that men were instructed by their commanders, we can't stop now. The enemy's got to be pushed back a little bit further. And I'm telling you tonight, I know you're bloodied. I know you're bruised. I know you feel like you've been kicked down, kicked on. But I'm telling you, if you'll somehow realize that the commander is trying to get your focus off of the battle, stop letting the battle take all of your attention. That's why, God, hear me, somebody, right now. That's why you cannot get sleep at night. That's why you can't rest properly. That's why your mind is going 100 miles an hour, is because you're trying your best to fix every problem, to fix every issue, and your mind is in a constant war. But if you learn to somehow say, like the Apostle Paul said, when I learned this a few weeks ago, it messed my mind up. When the Bible says, cast all your cares upon me, you know what that means? That's what it means. It's so powerful. You remember your kids come home, they take their backpack off, they'll throw it anywhere in the house, and you get ticked off saying, my God, don't you know you live in a house, not a barn? That's the same thing it means in that text. When he said, cast your cares upon me, that means just throw it off like you're in the house saying, God, I can't take it. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. Some of you have got to cast your worry on the one who knows all about it. Let's all stand. Everyone said victory. Sometimes the greatest struggles I've had was not realizing that morning was just one door away. Sometimes my greatest problems have been when I was struggling, when I was fighting, when I was wrestling with whatever it was I was fighting. So many times I wanted to quit right before God broke through. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I preached this message here, I believe, years ago, but never forget being in Dayzetta. And man, I was fighting some stuff, and I was still fighting depression. God hadn't set me free of depression. I was battling. Boy, I wanted to quit. I'm talking about really, I was messed up. Never forget, Brother Jones, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, my promise was talking. Promises that God had made. Promises that God, and it was like, man, if I quit now, I'll never see the promise that God spoke. If I stop now, I'll never experience the victory that God promised for me. And now I'm so, so thankful, Sister Tronado, that when I look back, I see a total different picture now, my brother. Because I didn't see victory then. All I saw was struggle. All I saw was war. All I saw was battle. All I saw was how bad it was. I can take you the week of my birthday, about 2.5 years ago, when Bridget came up to me on a Wednesday night after service. She was a new babe in Christ. Don't tell me God can't speak to new babes in Christ, because he can. She came to front. She said, Pastor, while you were preaching, the Lord said, tell him he's got to claim his victory. And when she said it for the first time in 12 years, I felt something shift. I thought, man, depression, it wasn't there like it was just an hour. I'd preach with depression all up in the pulpit. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. That was on Sunday, on Wednesday night, I'm sorry. On Sunday morning she came to me. On Tuesday of that week, I'm at the house and I felt it strike and try to come back on me. On Wednesday night, I'm preaching again and I hear her yell out and I thought, oh God, why is she yelling out? Don't she know it's supposed to be in decency and order around here? She's back there just crying and praying. Thought, well, she's a new babe in Christ. God bless her. She don't know any better. At the church, she beelined me. I thought, oh, God, here we go again. She said, I don't know why, but the Lord said, tell you, you better claim that victory. And when she did, the Holy Ghost fell. And she went into an unknown language that I've never heard before or since. Like the Apostle Paul said, there's some things I don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit maketh intercession. She didn't even know what she was praying for, but she prayed 12 years of depression off of me in one service. And I learned that night, there really is victory beyond the struggle. There really is a way out. I just feel to say it. Let me just say something right here. I'm telling you. 12 years earlier, I've told you before, if you don't remember, here it is again. I'm in a church that does not preach the truth. And a good African-American preacher was preaching that night from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm sorry, New York City. The St. Louis, Missouri pastor was there. A New York City preacher was there. He was preaching. Never forget. You can ask Jenna. He lined us all up in the front of the church. And he walked by me and he said, son, This before I ever had one battle in my life, but I'm telling you, there's power in this kind of stuff. He said, son, I don't know what it is, but the Lord said, tell you, you're fixing to go through a great season of suffering. He said, but he's going to bring you through it. He said, and when he does, the devil won't be able to touch you again. Now, folks, when he said it, my mind tries to imagine what could it be. But it wasn't until years later that I realized, oh, God, I never want anybody, even my worst enemy, to feel this kind of suffering. But when I got to the end of the struggle, I can look back and say, thank you, Jesus. And now when I meet somebody telling me I'm suicidal, I'm depressed, I can say, oh, hang on. There's victory beyond that struggle. There's a way out beyond that struggle. I didn't like it. It didn't feel good. And even now, I felt the adversary. He tries his best to weasel his way back in. But I've told you years ago, when God set me free of suicide, I can sense that devil anywhere. And God is, thank God by his grace, God's given me the power to kick that spirit back to hell. And I'm telling you tonight, you too can kick that spirit back to hell where it belongs. I close with Paul's words. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What I want to end with tonight is this, is it may seem like your struggle is impossible. It may feel like there's no way out. But God said, I'm above your problem. And I'm able to do things that are above what you can ask or I felt this just before service tonight, and that is the spiritual struggle in what you're in right now is going to produce much fruit in your future. Don't let the barren landscape around you right now cause you to believe that it's always going to be this way. That is a lie from the pit of hell. In the name of Jesus, roses will bloom again. I ain't got time to preach you this New Testament prophecy. The Bible talks about in the last days how a river would leave in Jerusalem and it would go down towards the Dead Sea. And when it hit the Dead Sea, life would come again. There'd be fishing on the shore of the Dead Sea. Jenna and I stood there in 2017. We floated in that crazy thing. And you look at that Dead Sea and there ain't no life anywhere around. Now, some say it's symbolic. Some say it's physical. It's actually going to happen, whatever. But either way, if it does happen in the physical or if it's a spiritual application, the principle still applies that God can take anything dead and bring life to it again. And God can hear me. I'm going to tell someone. I know it's Wednesday night. I know it is. But you hear what I'm telling you. You walked in and you feel like there ain't nothing growing in my life. Yet, oh God, I feel it tonight. You feel like you've been plucked up by the roots. And the roots are struggling to live. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, do not stop. Don't let go, Jacob. Hold on, Jacob. One day, they'll say, you're one of the patriarchs of the whole nation of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. There is victory beyond the struggle. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, God help me tonight. There will be growth again in your spirit. What do you mean, preacher? There'll be growth again in my spirit. What you've been afraid of, what you've been wrestling with, what you've been struggling, telling your wife, I just don't have it. I ain't got what it takes. You hear this, preacher? Stop repeating lies of the adversary. I know you don't have what it takes, but has it ever dawned on you? That's the people God tries to use is the ones who feel like they've got nothing left. Let him take what you got and let God use it tonight. Lift your hands to heaven. Jesus, we praise you, God. Help me pray, church. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would put strength in this body. Oh, God. God, right now that people would see there really is victory. There really is victory beyond the struggle. There really is a brighter day. There really is a better day. There really is, oh God, a happier time. Come on, somebody, help me pray right now. We're fixing to be dismissed, but let's just talk to the Lord right now. Come on, somebody, right now, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I know you've been struggling in your mind and your spirit. That's okay. God knows all about it, but there is victory beyond your struggle. There is victory beyond your pain. There is victory beyond your situation tonight. That's it. Come on, the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Come on, somebody. He's trying to talk to somebody, help somebody tonight. Come on, God's going to give you family strength, sir. Come on, God's going to give you household strength tonight. I know you feel like your house is barren, but God's going to speak again. God's going to talk again. My. God's going to talk again. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, husband and wife. Don't give up on God yet. Don't quit on God yet. Don't blame God. Keep on trusting God. Keep on believing the Lord. There is victory beyond the struggle. There is victory beyond the struggle tonight. Oh, clap your hands to him tonight. Let's talk to him. Come on, talk to him, church. Holy Ghost moving in this house right now. Oh. Woo. That's it, church. Come on, that's it. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Woo. That's it, church. Woo. Come on, somebody, talk to him right now. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak life over death tonight. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. Come on, somebody. You shall not die but live. You shall not die but live. You shall not die but live. Come on, these altars are open right now. I know it's different. The Holy Ghost is trying to move. Why don't we come pray for a couple of minutes right here? Come on, church. Let's step out in faith tonight. Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus, there is victory beyond the struggle. There is a brighter day coming. There is a better day coming tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let there be a release tonight. In the Holy Ghost, I pray, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, just for a couple of minutes. Come on, talk to him right now. Holy Ghost, right now. Holy Ghost, right now. Holy Ghost, I pray, strengthen tonight. Strengthen God. Strengthen God. That's it. The Holy Ghost is moving in this house. My, my, my. Woo! Soro ma iki yada banyo. Soto iki yada banaya sata yada ba. Woo! God, right now. God, right now. God, right now, God. God, right now. God, right now. God, right now. God, right now. That's it, church. Oh. Woo! Praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I worship you tonight, Lord. One more time, just lift your hands to heaven. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Bless this great church. Strengthen us, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Strengthen tonight, oh God, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, give comfort tonight. Bring peace tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 God knows where you are. Amen. There is victory. Amen. Beyond the struggle, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Worship you, God. Bless this church in Jesus.
you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you, God, for your anointing, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. God is for you. And God's not against you. Amen. Amen. God is with us tonight, and God wants to strengthen the body and let you know that He's no respecter of person. Amen. And He is the one whose name is victory. Amen. And He stands beyond the struggle. Amen. God, we love you. Thank you for the service. God, bless this church. Bless us as we go our separate ways. God, let the Holy Ghost, I pray, be with us. Speak strength, God. Speak peace tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, bring us back safely into your house. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thanks for coming to church. Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Sunday.